Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Warmaster Podcast episode 161 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Right, yeah. Today's topic is Chaos Dwarf Army Review.
We have two left. There can be only two.
Only two? Yeah, and that's Wood Elves is the other one.
We're not doing Nippon and Cathay at the moment.
They're in an experimental stage, so we'll leave that until there.
Developmental, I believe.
Developmental, word. Whatever it is, so I don't care. Like, yeah.
Well, that is the truth. That is the truth. So we're going to do a nice army review. These are always popular. You get to see the inner workings of Paul's mind, which is always a fascinating subject. Have we got any preamble, or you're too busy painting? What have you been up to in the world since?
What
the
have
last
I been
recording?
Up to since we last recording? Games wise, have I played? I think you're up to date, really. I've been fairly busy with university and work. I don't think I've played anything new.
So it's work nice and quiet, is it?
So yesterday, we pulled our joint record attendance. So basically, in the time that my A&E has existed, yesterday it was never only once as busy as that.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, it's a good time to be a private dentist in the UK. I rang up the dentist last week and they said, do not ring up the dentist.
How dare you?
We are inviting people in strict rotation. It's like winning the lottery. So basically they select a small portion of their patients.
People that need their help, yeah?
No, like this for regular checkups. This is not for emergency stuff. And they say they're inviting them by email, like a small sliver. And then the next month they'll invite another small sliver. And they said it may take us a little while to get to you, but don't bother ringing us because ain't nothing we can do unless your mouth's fallen off.
Don't bother.
Don't bother us, man.
Don't bother us. Not in.
So, I mean, it's only a matter of time, isn't it, before people say, well, I can't wait. It's already been like 18 months. I can't wait another 18 months to get a checkup. I'm going to have to pay private. So, good times for the Chris Orrs of this world, I guess.
Oh, well, I mean, he's very much in my favour, as you will see in this recording. How apt. I haven't got much to report, really. Sorry. So, I mean, I've been doing quite a bit of painting. I've put together minor projects. So I'm doing your demons as my major project. So I'm in full swing on them. I'm actually painting them right now.
Normally these would have been done. If this was a proper Paul project, they would have been done by now.
Well, you never gave me any deadlines, Barry.
Well, that's the problem. The deadline is you ain't getting any more stuff till you get it done.
Right. Well, you haven't given me any stuff either.
I've got a bin bag full of stuff.
Because you keep crying off every time, like, I'm supposed to pick it up. Right. Then I've got two minor projects there of some more Marvel Crisis Protocol figures. And I put together my Depths of Moria Legendary Legion list, which is for Middle Earth. And I've got some fantastic goblin models, most of them non-GW.
Is that a Balrog then?
It is. Balrog. The Balrog leads the army. He has to lead the army. He's half the points of the army, let alone with no options. And then Moria goblins make up the rest of it. So it's basically, it's the lot that chase the Fellowship out of Moria. I've come up with a very simple paint scheme to do a Moria goblin because they're tight, they're little figures. But most of the models I've got are from our third party goblin models, and they look really cool. They're really good. Yeah. So I've put them on these bases, like these Moria bases. I don't know if you can really see that.
Not really. It's a bit dark. I know lighting's expensive in the winter household.
Yeah, so is heating.
That's because you're living with a northerner.
I don't want to talk about the weather too much, but the weather is fucking atrocious. Like, what the hell?
Ever since you've been allowed to eat outside,
this is late spring. This is meant to be almost summer.
Yeah. It was hailstones yesterday.
I saw out the window in ED. It suddenly came down really heavy, really heavy.
Like yeah, setting car alarms off, they were
yeah,
so big.
Yeah, yeah. Cars. That's like, that's spring. Like, it's like, wow, what the hell? Right, yeah, yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, it's mostly been painting for me. How about you? What have you been up
to? I've been mostly... Recently, I've been mostly ill, sir. Mostly ill. With a recurrent bad back, which is, like, sickeningly annoying bad backs. They're fucking awful things.
Right.
But this is one of those bad backs that you can't even get comfortable lying down. So sitting, standing, doesn't really matter. It's all shit. All shit. Being awake is shit. That's what it feels right. like. So,
well, that's your problem, not my problem.
So, well, yeah, so again, I went to the NHS twice now I've been. Yeah. And all they gave me was stronger painkillers. So I said, well, that might get rid of some of the pain, but it's not going to cure what's causing the pain, is
no,
it really?
God, no. Just treat the symptoms. Yeah.
So so that's going to cost me a few hundred now to go to a chiropractor. But I don't really have a choice because you can't go on indefinitely like this. And
Yeah.
So it's already been like weeks and it's like, well, fuck this. So
yeah.
Money. This is what they say about the kind of salamiing of private health. We've already, in the case of, in 5 minutes, we've already talked about potentially having to go private for a dentist, having to go private for health because you've got a bad back.
You have. I've got nothing wrong with me.
Well, yet you're still a youngling. put another 15,000 miles on the clock and see what happens, man.
All right, okay, fair enough. I mean, to be honest, the pace, the things we were like, the pace we were having to work at yesterday. Ugh, you know, like I'm glad if that became the norm. Like, ugh.
And you're only part time as well, aren't you?
Part time. You're such a kid. Right, okay. Anyway, enough of your crap. Right. So, anything else?
Well, you just need to tickle the undercarriage of the thing you're doing on Friday. I ain't doing it, obviously, because I ain't any fit state to do it.
So you got the date wrong for a start, because obviously you would. It's on Friday the 29th.
Is that not this Friday?
Yeah, you put it as the 28th. You know,
oh, my heavens, man. And what? On the show notes? You read them, do you?
Oh, no, you got it right. I got it.
Oh. You're like Boris. You blame me for getting it right.
Yeah.
You get it wrong. Yeah. So, you got it wrong.
Yeah, this is the Warmaster Restaurants day at Bad Moon Cafe. We've gotten two tables next to each other. We actually have six players now, so we're going to get a third. We're gonna rock up there on Friday from 2 o'clock in the afternoon and play I don't know, two or three games each of Warmaster Restaurants. So I'll be taking my Lannisters, which are, you know, fully ready. Your Prince of never turned up in time, so never mind. You know, like
it was a wishful thinking.
But
very good though, I'll tell you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, good in your fucking pocket. Yeah, so then I've got to decide whether I'd like to take my new scenery, because obviously Bad Moon just caters for 28 mil scale. But it's like, do I drive there? How am I going to do it? Yeah, I've got to pour over Google Maps whether I'm going to drive to it or not. I don't know. But yeah, and
I think the congestion charge is, I don't know, is it 25 now or something?
I don't know. I'll have a look. I don't know. It's just, if it's all too much hassle, then I'll have to go without the scenery, I suppose, which is a shame because it's so nice.
Well, people get to see it at your World Galactic Tournament in September.
They will. But I want to use it myself, like now. Yeah.
Well, next time we play a game, use it then.
Okay. Yeah.
It's next week, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, it's half term for me, so that's as good a week as any for me.
Yeah. Cool. I'll be free. So it's all good. There's going to be a mixture of armies there.
So who's going? Because six is the magic number now.
So Jim and Janners and me.
Janners is coming from Bonnie Street. Scotland.
He's obviously visiting London. Like he's, right. You know, and then
Matthew Street, the man, the legend. The legend.
And then we got our, hang on, I always remember because they always use different names on Ian and Steve. Ian and John. Like Steve. Yeah, he's the.
His name's Steve, isn't it?
I forget which way round he does it.
That's my job to forget names. Yeah, his name is Steve.
Yeah, his name is Steve. Yeah.
But yes, online, he's so, something else.
Is that Ian and Steve? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Got that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good for them. So that sounds like a nice day out for all concerned.
Yeah, it will be cool, actually. And it's going to play more, obviously, more like Warmaster Ancient, well, more like Warmaster Medieval, I suppose. But yeah, it's going to be really fun to try, and there'll be lots of banter. I'll be interested to see how my Lannisters pull up against various things that will come against them, because I've gone for a heavy Knight Tywin list, you know, and we have to set up the army in battles. You know, the Warmaster Medieval way.
So you have
three groups.
Yeah, it's three battles. Yeah.
Three battles, and those battles can't intermingle. Yeah, in terms of they're commanded by separate, etc.
Well, what about the general? Surely he has overall command of the whole army.
He commands the main group.
Oh, the main group. Okay, fair dinkum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So
which is probably wrong, because he'd be sat at the back, wouldn't he, writing letters?
Well, Tywin would.
Not really getting involved.
Yeah, yeah. It should be. Yeah, it's gonna be pretty awesome. It'll be a good day for me, because I like last weekend Hannah had her first proper art gig at so she was in at the National Flower Show where her studio is. They were impressed upon the artists were pressed upon to put on a display, so I had the kids basically for like the whole time. So I know,
the brownie point count is here.
Exactly. And I am cashing it in by, on this event. So I'll be like, see you later. I mean, if I drive, then I won't drink. If I take the train, I'm definitely drinking.
Fair dinkum. So we'll have some feedback on it on our next episode.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would certainly play at least two games. With Jim and Janna's around, these games will be quick. So it's probably more.
Make sure you take some pictures of.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, but I mean, I just really like the venue as well, and it's good to go and support them. In terms of the tables you pay for on the day. I'll get lunch before arriving, and then we'll have dinner in house. They do pizzas, and we'll eat their food in there and play, eat throughout, eat dinner as we play along. Because we can go rotate as well. We like, there'll probably be situations because the 10 games have just started, just be playing. So there'll be downtime in between.
That's good. And there's the six of you. You can play anybody. If it got more than six, it would get messy. But six of you can do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. So if anybody out there finds themselves at a loss on Friday and is in London and wants to can't walk in, it's free. Come see us.
Come say hello. Mm-hmm. But not too closely, obviously.
Well, whatever.
Anyway, so what's been going on Facebook land? Because I don't do very much Facebook at the moment.
Yeah.
So I saw John from Cromarty Forge sent me some rat STLs. Has he put them up for sale now or something?
I don't know if he's put them up for sale. Probably. There's just some fantastic. Oh, I guess the biggest thing in terms of Facebook that was put on Facebook was that Forest Dragon have come. They're ending their Patreon, so they're going to finish the High Elves, and then they're moving to Gum. Oh, the guys.
No, I don't think that's true. I think they're finished. I think
they have finished. Oh, okay.
So basically, they're changing their business model.
Yeah.
So rather than having an army every 3 months, you'll have an army when the army's ready.
Yeah.
And then you just buy as an army.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be more expensive or less expensive. The running rate is about 30 quid for an army at the moment, over three Patreons.
Yeah, exactly. And that's to get the files, just to spell it out. That's not physical prints of them.
One thing from an economics point of view is it tends to work against something called inertia. So inertia is one of those things where you sign up for Netflix, you don't really use Netflix a lot, but you're still paying every fucking month for Netflix.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
Inertia means that it's a fucking fag to cancel things and restart them, so you just kind of leave them running.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there is no inertia on Gumroad. You either buy it or you don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if I don't want a high elf army, I'm not going to, like with Patreon, I might have left it running, even though I've got a fully painted high elf army. I don't need high elves.
Yeah, yeah.
But on Gumroad, there's the zero chance I'll buy the high elf STLs because I don't need them.
Yeah, exactly. So
it swings and roundabouts. It's an interesting move. It obviously takes some pressure off because the treadmill is a real thing where you're having to find enough time each month to do whatever you did, three units a month. That's a lot.
Exactly. I mean, the important thing is that the guy is still like making models. Yeah, still doing designs, and they're then commercially available. And so fine, whatever way he wants to present that. And if he ends up, if it ends up costing a little bit more, fair enough. I mean, the stuff he does is fun, is I think it's really good. So that, you know, because when I first heard it, I was like, oh no, is that means he's stopping doing, making them at all? I was like, no, he's just changing how he's going to be delivering his products. And if that means, yeah, to say that means he was doing on a, say the time frame was like an army every 3 months.
It was, yeah.
If that changes to an army every 6 months, so be it. I mean, beggars can't be choosers. So, I won't ever criticize someone for doing their design. It's like, it's up to them to what they do. It's like the only drama is, it's like, it's because it's claiming gaps in the market, isn't it? Like, so we're about to talk about Chaos Dwarves. There's a lovely range of Chaos Dwarf models being designed by a different outfit, you know, and so it's owning that space first, isn't it? In terms of like, oh, like if you're first in the door and it's like, I've got a completed range, here it is. I guess if you were marketing it, it's easier then to be promoted, or you become the example. Like your ogres on Blackgate Miniatures, there wasn't a range of ogres available when you did them. So you became,
there was only one unit of ogres.
There's only one, yeah. So you became the default one shop, unless you were fantastic at converting or something. You know, and that was something, you know, that was the easy buy-in, was your example. So, and it's like Beastmen, for example, at the moment, don't have a one shop like right now. I mean, Eureka Miniatures obviously make some good Beastman models, but they don't have like something that's been bespokely made specifically for Warmaster.
Right.
So if someone, whoever does that first, like claims the slot, and if you do a good job of it, I think then from a business model, then that's what's the right word? Claiming the IP, isn't it? In terms of, or not?
It's so, just like planting a flag. Basically.
Planting a flag.
Parking
a tank on it. Yeah.
So anyway, what it does say is that you know that this fella isn't motivated purely by money, because if he he'd be doing it the way he's. I don't know what the slice of the pie that Patreon have. Maybe the slice is enormous, and it's like,
yeah.
It's like gut wrenching. I know Kickstarter's 8.5%. I don't know what Patreon take. Maybe it's. It could be 50% for all I know. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Some of these places like Twitch take unbelievable amounts of money. But
yeah.
The way he's doing it is kind of potentially. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You've taken away a monthly income for something far less certain.
Yeah.
But which obviously says that he cares more about his art than he does about the money, which is what you want from an artist. Because you don't want
definitely what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want definitely. Somebody knocking out a range every other week.
Oh no!
Just
I mean,
and knocking them out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's I think all of us in the community would always vote for quality over quantity, wouldn't we? Because it's like this, you know, is in, you know, that initial Wood Elf range the guy did is fantastic. I think they're fantastic. I've put together my Wood Elf army ever for that, and I've put them on these bases that have the indented. Strips, because they fit it perfectly for that, and that's how I'm going to do my Wood Elves on those ones. And honestly, they're just fantastic.
Cromarty Forge are doing some STLs at some point, because I will try and print some out. I think Ankai Lo are the ones you're talking about.
Yes, we are. Dwarves, which we're going to have in a moment. Yeah.
Oh, and I think he's done some new stuff. It's maybe some Skaven stuff. I don't know. Another person. There seems like a flood of Skaven stuff. Well, you can't get too many cheese eating rats, can you?
No, God, no. It's
the world's full of them.
Yeah, and Skaven army, like Ankylo Miniatures, for example, something that really got my attention was they did a unit of Poison Wind Globedeers. Just use them as Storm Vermin. There you go. Or Giselles or whatever. And I was like, oh, they look amazing. You know, like, so I was like, yeah, and you can have lots of these different little units in a Skaven army just to mix up the mass of, you know, brown rats.
Land rats. Yeah. So I have done some videos on some of these things. You can find it. They're part of this Warmaster podcast, but Adventures in 3D Printing. You can find some in there of most of the things we've talked about. Anyway, so we need to push on because we're about 20 minutes in and the next section is going to be a doozy. We will be back after the break.
Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? They're British, you know.
Okay, so welcome back. Today we're talking about the good old Chaos Dwarves, those good old boys.
Chaos Dwarves, the dwarves who did a wrong'un.
Well, one of the interesting things they did is they lost the ability to command shit, didn't they? They had the leadership 10 chopped off.
Well, I suppose you could have had an option where they get plus one to all the dwarf units, maybe. But I guess you could also say that that's representative of the fact that they have their most of their army isn't actually Chaos Dwarf.
That's true. So go on then. Let's hear the fluff, man.
Fluff. Okay, one sec. Many thousands of years ago, the dwarf race opened the page that they were on. Many thousands of years ago, the dwarf race moved northwards from its ancestral home somewhere in the Southlands. They moved across the high ridge of mountains known as the World's Edge Mountains, following on the trail of mineral ores and precious gems. The dwarves spread amongst the mountains, driven onwards by their lust for the secrets of rock and metal. Over a period of many hundreds of years, they dug shafts and evacuated cavernous underground cities. They sank mines deep into mountain routes and constructed tunnels which carried them further north. Eventually, sometime in the dim and distant past, the dwarves reached the upland regions for the far north of the World's Edge Mountains, which they called Zorn Uzak of the Great Skull Land. They then found a vast and inhospitable plateau where the air was thin and cloud and the rocks barren. Many turned back south due to swell of the growing numbers of dwarves in the World's Edge Mountains. Others turned west into the cold lands of Norsica, but some of the most adventurous turned east and then south along the bleak mountains of Mourne. At first, these widespread dwarf kindreds maintained contact with each other, but the eastern dwarves strayed far, and when the time of chaos came, the northern regions were cut off forever. Dwarves of the west believed their eastern kin dead, destroyed by the tides of chaos that came from the north, but they were mistaken. Chaos did not kill the hardy dwarves. Instead, it worked a dreadful change upon them. The Chaos Dwarf Empire is sited amongst the mountains of Mourne and the adjoining eastern part of the Darklands. It is a stark and cheerless place where nature has rent the ground and burst the mountains apart. It is a land rich in the minerals the dwarves especially covet. It is impossible to say for certain how or when the dwarf kindred of the east became the Chaos Dwarves. Probably it was a slow process by warping and twisting, for dwarves are stubborn by nature and more resistant to magic than other creatures. Nevertheless, they were changed. Their dwarf instincts became perverted into a mockery of traditional values. The huge and monstrous tower of Zarnogrund, the city of fire and desolation, arose on the plain of Zaradok. The monstrous city is fashioned from black obsidian and stained with the red glow of a thousand diabolic furnaces. When dwarves shunned magic, the Chaos Dwarves embraced it and became mighty sorcerers, the creators of arcane machineries and horrific engines. The refuse of thousands of years of labor filled the plains of Zaradok, where industry tears at the earth, pockmarking the surface with ugly scars of endeavor. Beneath the flickering flames of countless forges, untold thousands of slaves, creatures of many races, captured in war, or traded from the orcs of the west, work in the enterprises of the Chaos Dwarves. There you go.
There we go.
Sorry, like Tories, really, aren't they?
I like the fact they described the northern wastelands. It was all desolate and stark and cheerless.
Yeah. Nothing good goes up there. Any fantasy realm, Barry, the north is crap. just remember that.
What about the far north?
Yeah, yeah. And then the far north, where we don't even count that as the normal north, is even worse. we have Chaos Dwarves. Now, so basically, what does that fluff mean? It just petitioned off a bunch of dwarves to go, separated from their regulars, and then they came converted into Chaos and gives us our, equivalent of Dark Elves for Elves.
Yeah, I guess so. What's the Wood Elves equivalent for dwarves? What would they be?
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
Sea dwarves, pirate sea, floating in airship dwarves, I guess.
With the salt cannons, on air bubbles. Probably them. They don't have it. There are two types of dwarf and three types of elf. There you go. Go figure.
That's very elfish.
Yeah.
Very racist against the dwarfies.
Yep.
So what have we got going on in the old Chaos Dwarves?
It's a mixture. So it's not a pure one-race army. It's actually... three races, really. I guess if you say hobgoblins are different from orcs, or maybe four if you said. Anyway, the distinction of where a snotling becomes a goblin becomes an orc is quite subjective. So the first unit type is obviously Chaos Dwarves as the infantry, and they have the dwarf profile of 3-4-4 for 110 points, minimum of two units, maximum of four. So there you go. That's exactly the same as dwarf.
They're hardy little buggers.
They're your heavy infantry. Yeah, well, it's, you know, they,
I wish they hit harder, but they don't.
Yeah, yeah, but they're resilient, and that's what dwarves should be.
One thing to do mention is that is a whole chunk of change in your minimum.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is a Chaos Dwarf army, so a Chaos Dwarf army doesn't exist unless it has some dwarves, like, controlling it. It couldn't just be just characters, because they wouldn't, like, they use slaves, not willing, like, prisoners, is it, or willing minions. Mm-hmm. So they have to have some rule. And yeah, I like the fact that there's harsh restrictions there. So a minimum of 2, fair enough. You've got to take 4 units, but it's a maximum of 4 only. You can only take 8 units of Chaos Dwarves in total. That they're not plentiful. They're not. You can't just have an army of dwarves.
No.
Which I really like.
So no. Blunderbusses were one of the...
Yes.
In fact, they may have been the only... No, there were two things that got changed.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah. Blunderbusses were the main one because they had the most fucking crazy rules.
So this is obviously was originally a fan list, and it had some rules which say basically ain't Warmaster.
They had beam weapons went directly in front of their base and you had to... It was nuts.
I know where that came from. So the original, like, Chaos Dwarves as an army in Warhammer didn't have an army book every edition, but one they did have involved, like, was the classic Chaos Dwarf look, which is even pictured here in this artwork here of the big hats and looking, well, basically Ottoman Turks, you know, like, you know, with the beards, with the plaited beards. There you go. That's what they look like. You know, so the blunderbusses used like an area effect, like as in they spread out the unit frontage forward of a certain, and that was in Warhammer, and that was like they basically hit everything in this like because they were scatter guns. Now that translated almost, you know, they put that as a direct comparison into Warmaster. So your unit frontage, it would be out, what was it, 15 centimeters?
Something like that.
Yeah, it just didn't work basically. It was like there's nothing in Warmaster that does this. It's not an area effect game.
Like half a page of rules and this is completely unnecessary.
Yeah, it had to go basically.
So I can't remember who came up with the idea, but what they did was just create a weapon that was similar to the other short range weapons.
Yes.
But like the Dark Elves, they're Dark 2 Elves, at 15
or,
aren't they?
Or your Lead Belchers in Ogre Kingdom.
Well, Lead Belchers were templated on these new blunderbuss.
Yeah, yeah, that's what, yeah, one came out. So anyway, what you get is one blunderbuss is you get infantry that are 3 attacks and 2/2, but we'll come on to that. Hits of 4, armor of only 6, 90 points, maximum of 2 units only in 1,000 points. And they have the rule, blunderbusses have a shooting range of 15 centimeters. You have 2 shooting attacks. However, when you stand and shoot, you've only got 1 shooting attack because 2 shooting attacks would be too much. Mm-hmm. And units hit by blunderbusses get a -1 penalty for their armor rolls. So it's if you compare them to dwarf handgunners. Handgunners have the range at 1 shot. Blunderbusses have 2 shots at half range. Yeah, half the range.
I mean, the problem with 15 centimeter range is if you don't get enough hits in, you're now in initiative range.
Yeah, it's too close for missile weapons most of the time, and it does, like, you play big. So if you're going to move these in to unload a proper volley, which, you know, and not rely on standing and shoot, it is dangerous because if you do roll badly, the enemy's gonna, and you don't push them in. Even if you go at maximum, okay, I'm going to set myself 15 centimeters, I need to push them back 6 centimeters, and they're not in initiative range. You might not get it. Yeah, you know, like if you only did 1 wound, you know. So there you go. That was a good change. That was a necessarily change for Revolution from the original list, and it brought them into line with other things, which we like. So your next unit is Hobgoblins, which are 3 attacks and 1 shooting attack. No, 3 hits, no armor, 50 points, and they are the rule Hobgoblins. Hobgoblins and Hobgoblin Wolf Riders carry an assortment of smaller ranged arms, so they may shoot up to 15 centimeters. However, they can shoot from any edge while turning to face the target, just measure the range from the stand and from the side of the rear. This enables them to shoot at charging enemies from any direction. Hobgoblins and Orcs have a strong hatred of units of Hobgoblins or Hobgoblin Wolf Riders may not brigade with units of Black Orcs or Orc Slaves, which I really like. So in the fluff, the dwarves moved into the area, started subjugating the Orcs. The most common enemy was Orcs and Goblins. They actually created Black Orcs by a form of, like, splicing of, like, you know, breeding program.
Eugenics, you mean?
Eugenics and a magic. Yeah. And, like, they did eugenics on orcs, got black orcs. And the idea was, like, oh, I'll come on to black orcs in a minute. We're fucks up with them. You know, so, and hobgoblins were like, you know, it's a bit hard, like, when we're trying to oppress everybody. It's very British Empire. So we're like, what we need is one of the tribes to work for us. And the hobgoblins threw their lot in with the Chaos Dwarves and said, we'll kind of be your minions rather than your slaves, and we'll help you persecute all the other greenskins. So we'll go against our own race, you know, our big plural race. So hobgoblins are hated by orcs and goblins for that reason, especially orcs. And hobgoblins are, in size wise, are meant to be, is taken on averages, are bigger than a goblin but smaller than an orc. Yeah, right. So like goblins are, you know, are meant to be quite a bit smaller than humans. Hobgoblins are like small humans, while orcs would be bigger than humans. Yeah.
Hobgoblins are in this weird space that they're kind of like super goblins.
Yeah, yeah. They're more like goblins. They're certainly more like goblins than orcs.
But you know, but you're paying 50 points for what is effectively a bigger goblin.
Yeah.
Because it's got one extra attack. But you're paying 20 points, I think, for that attack. I think a goblin's 30 points, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So they are, they, in that comparison there, they would seem overcosted. Yes.
Well, it swings around, right? You don't want them too good. But no. Because you pay 45 points for a halberdier, and these have got bows, even though they're a bit short range.
But if you think about it, like, so defensively, hobgoblins have three attacks and they have a shooting attack. So they have basically four dice they roll at different stages. So it's an interesting one. I mean,
it's a unique one, which is where the issues always come.
Yeah, yeah.
So if something's unique, it tends to have trouble being balanced. Yeah, yeah.
I really like the fluff for them. I like the rules for them a lot in terms of what they represent and who they are. And also we'll come on to the models in a minute, but the models are fantastic too.
So again, this is something that doesn't happen very much in any armies. These cannot be brigaded. So the only thing like this was like Noblers, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But we've kind of removed that because it was such a pain in the arse.
It's not, so they can't be brigaded with black orcs or orc slaves. That ain't so bad because they
What does that mean in the game?
But it means they can go with dwarf. They can go with the mainstream, the thing you must take, which is Chaos Dwarves.
No, but brigading only matters for movement.
Yes.
So they can still support. They can still fight with them. They just can't move with them.
I think they wouldn't be fighting for them with them. They'd just be like, the orcs would be fighting harder because the hobgoblins are near.
But like, I'm not talking about fluff. I'm talking about the game. In the game, they can actually fight in support.
They can. Yeah, they can.
But you just have trouble getting them there.
Yeah, you'd have to be a separate order to go do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of for the points. I find them quite difficult to justify 50 points. I'm not saying they're not good or whatever. I mean, you might have taken them because I know you, but I look at the rules and go, in game, that's just too much hassle for what they're bringing me. So they didn't make the list. I'll tell you now.
Get
out of here, hobgoblins.
Right.
Orcs, black orcs.
So your black orcs. Now, they're infantry, 4-4-5 for 110 points. They're a port from the black orcs we see in Orcs and Goblins. Now, Chaos Dwarves created Black Orcs by eugenics, and it went a bit wrong. So basically they were like, you know, it's a shame when these slaves die. You know, even orcs are quite hardy, but when you got them to like carry like fucking lava around, like, you know, they tend to die. What a shame. And if only they were more docile and maybe a bit more intelligent as well, you know, like, because then we wouldn't have to repeat the orders. So they bred these bigger, badder orcs. And guess what, Barrett? What do you think the Black Orcs did?
Probably revolt, sir. If they
exactly, they rebelled. Yes, and so the Chaos Dwarves, they came close to like being taken out by black orcs, like, and leading other orcs and goblins, not hobgoblins because they're on our side. Like, so they came close to dying out as a race. So they basically like went to real war with black orcs and brought them down. A lot of black orcs ended up leaving, like being pushed away, but they brought them down to manageable numbers, and the Chaos Dwarves basically just survived.
So this is, I guess, in Lord of the Rings, these are your Uruk-hai. So you bred super orcs.
Yeah. Except your Uruk-hai who turned on you at the same time. Yeah, which ain't so good. Yeah, so exactly that. And so the black orcs you see in Orcs and Goblins are elements of black orcs, descendants that, you know, got beaten by Chaos Dwarves and left the area. But yeah, it was a wrong one. It was a good idea, but it went wrong.
No more politics.
Yeah, it's like, oops. So they still keep some Blackhawks around because you can't deny they're fantastic, like, at what they do, like in the Chaos Dwarf Society. But yeah, they're always like, not too many though. Not too many.
So right. Next one is even more interesting.
Orc slaves. Yeah.
So what? They're 4-3-0 for 40 points. You get maximum of 2, and they've got a special rule that says basically they get -1 command penalty unless they're with Black Orcs, Chaos Dwarves, or Blunderbusses.
Yeah. Unless there's so. It. They are just that. Caps is work to fight for their cruel master's enjoyment. Now they model the profile on orcs because they are predominantly orcs slaves, but they could also be other things as well, you know, like elf slaves. You know.
But they're not orcs, are they? Because they've lost their armor.
Well, yeah, because who would arm slave? Who would give armor to slaves?
But yeah, so this is why the Chaos Dwarf was left kind of late, like the Wood Elves, because there's lots of stuff here that's just made up for the sake of making up a profile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if we put the blunderbusses back in that they were. Why are orc slaves not orcs? Why are they a new version of orcs without armor?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I wasn't going to include. So I would have been happy with just hobgoblins and that. But the models that we have here, there's an orc with a bucket on his head, and I'm sorry, but like that model is fantastic. It's like, I'm sorry, like, I'm having that unit in my army.
He's a good lad, Mr. Buckethead.
I'm just like, that's fantastic.
So. Again, it's probably part of the fact that they've got 10 list entries, which is as big as it gets. But for what you use orc slaves for, which is supporting either black orcs or chaos dwarves, or even blunderbuss if you want, they're way too cheap.
Yeah.
Why would I not take 4 units of these? I'm only allowed 4. These were virtually first in the fucking on the list.
Really? Get in here, boys. Were they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, what am I losing out on for 40 points? They're a bargain.
True enough. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not putting them with hobgoblins. So there's no command penalty. And you go like, I get 4 attacks for 40 points. Yeah. 5 attacks on a charge for 40 points. I mean, if you look at some armies, to get that kind of output, you've got to be looking at like 75 points for fanatics, and you lose control of them, and you've got no armor still.
Yeah,
I think they've got 5 attacks, haven't they? Same profile, 5 attacks, 75 points, and they must charge.
70 points, but
70 points, yeah. Well, I've lost 1 attack and saved 30
immune
points.
Immune to terror.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. But I've lost 1 attack, I've saved 30 points, and I've got complete control over them.
True. Okay, all right.
This Chaos Dwarf list, but it's just about all over the place. But I mean, it's not a million miles from right, but I just think sometimes the bigger issue was nobody fucking played them. So there was no playtesting for Chaos Dwarfs because there's no miniatures.
I did an army from Eureka Miniatures and did take it to a tournament. But I couldn't have all options because, you know, like, as in I didn't have any hobgoblins, sadly. But I did quite well with it, but that was also in an event with a lot of new players as well. Like, so.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe I should have paid more attention to Eureka having them. So sorry, Eureka. You can get them from Fighting 15s in the UK still.
I mean, they're, you know, until the ones I'm going about to go on camera when we go on with this. It was possible to do a Chaos Dwarf army through Eureka.
Okay, right. So next one, Wolf Riders.
Hobgoblin Wolf Riders, which are 3 attacks, 1 shooting shot, 3 hits, 6 up armor. And they have the same rule we've already read, which is Hobgoblins. So basically they've got 15 centimeter range. And they won't go, well, they couldn't anyway, because they're cavalry. But yeah, this still could, but you wouldn't do it, would you? Is that exactly the same as Wolf Riders? No, Wolf Riders have 2 attacks, don't they? Yeah. So Goblin Wolf Riders have 2 attacks. Hobgoblin Wolf Riders have 3 attacks.
But you're paying 20 points for that, which is probably a fair deal. Without the light cavalry rules, they're a bit lackluster.
They would need the light cavalry rules in there to make them light, because they are light cavalry, and they would be the good form. They would be in the best form of light cavalry because they've got range 15 centimeters. So that means also they would be harder to chase, which would, they would love it.
I did take a couple of units, but that was kind of only. I would make maybe change that up if we weren't using light cavalry.
See, when we come to the army list, I'll tell you my theme. I can see your theme already.
What?
Right.
What, trying to win games is my theme.
Right. Ball centres. Now, these were a problem, weren't they?
That was still a problem.
Still a problem, yeah. Okay, so cavalry, 4-4-5, nice profile, 150 points, though. And they have no unique yet. That's it. So they're a 4-4-5 cavalry unit for 150 points.
Right. So the main crux of the problem with bull riders, or whatever they call bull centaurs, is the differential between your bog standard knight, which is 3-3-4, and your chaos knight, which is 4-4-4.
Yep, that's right. And your empire, your regular knight is 110, and your chaos knight is 200.
So where is that 90 points?
Yes.
And what is it broken down into?
Yeah. How much of it is the attack? How much is it the hit? Yeah.
How much is the attack and how much is the armor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've got everything apart from the armor of a Chaos Knight.
So they, so the difference is 50 points difference to get 4+ armor instead of 5+. Yeah.
So the problem is the problem that the Chaos Knights are too expensive? Is the problem that basic knights are too fucking cheap? I don't know. But these guys fall in the middle. We have to put a price on the extra hit, the extra attack, hit and attack, even though they've lost the armor.
Yeah.
And that's where you end up coming here. If you start making them cheaper, you start making them the same price as things like cold ones who don't have four hits. And the extra hit in the game mechanics is the most expensive upgrade. Even more than armor.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Yeah, it's a tricky one. It is a tricky one. We've always classed cavalry by its armor save. So these are medium cavalry, not heavy cavalry.
So are Rhinox riders. But in reality, I suppose, reality, if we were holding true to the hit is the most expensive part of the profile, they should actually be 160.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you should be paying 50 for the extra hit and 40 for the extra armor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So bull centaurs are in a really hard place, and it does make the list very, very awkward to build, especially if you don't use the light cavalry rules for wolf riders, because then you really are up against it.
I mean, you're never going to have many units of bull centaurs. You can only have 2 per 1,000, so you can only ever have 4. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, 4. Yeah. So it's tricky. It's difficult. Yeah, it's... No easy answers. No easy answers.
There are no easy answers. You can't. You don't want to unpick the game so much that you have to rebalance everything.
Definitely, definitely.
But I think bull centers, in the same way that Rhinox riders and Chaos Knights, just might have to suck it up and just be a bit overcosted. Because what's the alternative?
Yeah,
exactly. You don't want to make them too cheap because then they're just like auto include.
Yeah, fluff wise, bull centers are half a Chaos Dwarf and half a bull, they kind of went a bit wrong. I don't know if that was a deliberate mistake or an accidental mistake or chaos effects.
More eugenics, who knows?
More eugenics. It's like, oops, like now we've got some Chaos Dwarfs and bulls stuck together. Like, oopsie. Right. So Earthshaker cannon, here we go. Artillery. One attack, 3 shooting attacks, 3 hits, 6 up armor. For 90 points, you get a single stand with this rule. Axe is a stone throw, so range 60 centimeters. I describe in the main rule book. Won't allow arm saves. Except can fire high, as in fire without line of sight.
This is just a skill chucker, isn't it? We don't need to go all day.
No, it does. It does have one other thing.
Does it?
It does. So it causes confusion on a 4+ rather than a 6+. And in addition, it can cause confusion in units in base contact on a 6.
Right.
So it's it also separate rule. Total number of Earthshakers and Death Rockets in the army.
You're not taking Death Rockets.
Only one piece of this kind is allowed per 1,000 points.
You're not taking Death Rockets, so you can ignore them from there.
Well, you aren't.
So your Skull Chucker with an extra little cherry on the top. Because you've got your normal Skull Chucker rules from the Tomb Kings. And then you've also got the if stuff's touching it, they can get confused on the 6+.
Potentially, yeah. It's a cool artillery piece. It's lovely.
It's not cheap, but
no.
And it's not canon.
No, it's not canon. No, but it's an alternative to it. If you could take any artillery pieces, yes, there's cannons, and this sometimes might be another option because it's starting to get different rules and different abilities, isn't it? Because it should confuse its targets. It really should.
And you fire directly with these Earthshaker cannons as well, like you can with any.
So that's if the artillery piece has no line of sight to anything, but it is in range of something, it can fire on and hit them on sixes. Okay. Because it's high arcing. Okay, so then we have a death rocket. Now, this is something I, when I'm writing my list, I didn't realize this, but here we go. Artillery, one attack, one d6 shots, two hits, six up armor. One artillery piece gives you 60 points. And a death rocket acts similar to a stone throw. So it's range 60. I thought it was range 40. It's range 60. As described in the main rulebook, except it shoots d6 times and it will have a minus one armor save. But if you roll a one, you've got a misfire chart, which might be good. And it might be bad, you know, like as a traditional.
What's the misfire chart?
There it is. Yep. Six, a big bada boom. Does 2d6, that's the normal d6, down to one, which is kaboom, where it explodes, and there you go. And then somewhere in between is everything else.
So I think one and two, it blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Three, yes. Shoots a little bit. Four, it shoots a little bit more. A little bit later. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of like a warp lightning cannon, but not as bad. But
it's range 60, Barry. It's like
I understand that.
I thought it was range 40. It's range 60.
But it's a random amount of attacks. I mean, you on average you'll get roughly the same as an Earthshaker. Earthshaker has, I mean, it's cheaper than an Earthshaker.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
But the Earthshaker doesn't blow itself up.
Well, neither does this really. That's only if a hobgoblin gets in the way.
but my concern with it is that I don't have a lot of break and I can't afford my own break to just disappear because I've rolled a one and then a one or a two.
Fair enough. Okay.
So what's your chances of rolling a one and a one? It's like 18 to one.
18 to one, yeah. So 18 volleys will, yeah, eventually you'll lose the death rocket. Yeah,
yeah, but in my luck, it'll be the first volley, won't it?
I like, okay, so
you like everything, sir. You like, yeah. You like cheesy chips, no doubt. Yeah, I don't know, you like it all.
Yeah, so bolt throwers, so these are crewed by hobgoblins, which we maybe should have distinguished, hobgoblin bolt throwers, we should have said. Artillery, one and two shots per attack. They are basically, they're bolt throwers. The hobgoblin, see, it actually says there, the hobgoblin bolt thrower is a bolt thrower. So in the troop type, we need to amend that to be hobgoblin bolt thrower. So it's described in the main rulebook. Yeah.
So they had an upgrade that they shoot two per stand because they had some weird penetration rules, kind of a cannon.
They still do, but it was one shot penetrate two ranks for a maximum of three hits. Now it's two shots penetrating one rank to maximum of three hits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's good. And they get the two shots on the stand and shoot. So they're a good defensive
and
weapon.
And they don't allow armor saves, so they're huge bloody bolts.
Yeah. So if you put two of them together, you're shooting eight times. That's four wounds on average, no saves. Yep. So they'll deter. Yep. They don't deter stuff with no armor because no armor's got no armor. But they'll deter cavalry.
Yep, I like maybe. It. Yep. So then we go into your character pack. So your general is a command 9 general at 125 points. He's not a command 10. He's not command 10, he's command 9. So I guess that's the biggest, like in this list building, if the guy had done command 10, that would have been, yeah, it was like, hang on a sec. Right, so your hero is a 80 point, sorry, a command 8, 80 point hero, nothing special there.
Well, we've done it with Wood Elves, haven't we? We've done the exact same thing with Wood Elves. You said it's a Wood Elf army, but most of it's not fucking Wood Elves anymore. So it's command 10 for Wood Elves, commanding Wood Elves, and it's 9 for everything else.
Yeah.
So that's effectively what this would be, I guess.
It could
not that I want any more command 10 armies.
Yeah, it could have been.
But I feel it's a bit chaos dwarfy. A bit. They don't get any love.
They've been persecuted. Yeah.
They have.
Then your sorcerer. So this is a command 8 sorcerer for one attack. So he goes at 90 points.
Nice. They're always good.
Flavor comes in with the mount. So you get a great Taurus with a monstrous mount. Any characters, you could put a wizard on that, maybe mounted on a great Taurus. The mighty beast is fierce to face, causes terror, is fly, and is a shooting attack with two shooting attacks at range 20 if he joins a unit. Big bloody bull.
It's like a mini dragon.
Yes,
I mean, you don't save a lot for the one loss of each attack.
90 points, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to argue. They get a fly dragon-y thing.
Yeah.
And a Lamassu is a weird
a really weird looking thing. And a Lamassu is a magical creature trained to serve the Chaos Dwarves. A Chaos Dwarf Swarster only may be mounted on that. A Lamassu can fly. In addition, any hostile spell casting unit joined by the Lamassu may be dispelled on a 4+. Acts like a dwarf dispel, except where it's the Lamassu units to target. So you get a monstrous mount for 20 points. You get +1 attack. So the sorcerer goes to 2 attacks. If you join him into a unit, it gets a potential dispel. So you could see him going into a unit of ball centers, couldn't you? Yeah, you could. Yeah, all right. Well,
I mean, I don't tend to commit characters to units unless there's a specific purpose, and I don't consider this a specific purpose. Maybe if he's forced into a unit, and then he could protect that unit from having spells cast on it. Maybe. And then you've got a Sorcerer Lord upgrade, which is a relatively common upgrade for like...
The general would be the true Sorcerer Lord, maybe one of the living ancestors. So he becomes a wizard and and once during the battle, Sorcerer might +1 dice when attempting to cast a spell. The player may announce that the Sorcerer's special is being rolled, and that's what you do. Yeah. So
we need to just finish off the spells. Then we'll do a discussion, Paul, because I need to do something online as well. We need to do a third section. So
the
spells... Got Flaming Hand.
Flaming Hand, just touching. So 4+ to cast. When we cast the wizard, he's joined a unit in combat. The spell automatically makes 3 attacks on one enemy unit that's touching the unit and the wizard has joined. They worked out in the usual way.
That's quite strong. On a 4+. Gives him 3 extra attacks. He's already got 1.
Word of Fear. 4+ to cast. The spell we cast on any friendly unit within range, whether the wizard can see or not, the unit counts as causing terror.
I like that. 4+ spells are always good. 4+ spells.
Terror for 4+ could be great. Volcanic Eruptions, 6+ to cast, range 30. Each enemy unit within 30 centimeters of the wizard takes D3 attacks, worked out in the normal way, rolled separately for each unit. A unit is not driven back by the volcanic eruption, and those hits can carry out into combat. So it's a way of force multiplying lots of combats, but you need to cast it on 2 or 3 units to make it worthwhile.
So this one here, this volcanic eruption, is the kind of spell that I'd only look at if I had a ring of magic. And then if you get in range of stuff like artillery, you can have a 50-50 chance of blowing up artillery pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
50% chance of getting 2 wounds.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's D3 attacks, isn't it?
D3 attacks. But it's still worth...
If it was 3 attacks, my 6+ spells have got to be good to get my interest.
So right. Meteor Storm, 5+ to cast, range 30, and the magic line, 39 centimeters, just 3 shooting attacks along everything. It's just Ball of Flame.
The good old Ball of Flame. Mm-hmm. So, not a terrible spell list. It would certainly make me take a couple of sorcerers, but it's not like a world beater, is it?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to have another little break now, and then we're going to come back and do the list. They always, the funnest bit of any of these is the list, and then the tiers, good old tiers.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're back for our final section.
Yeah.
This is Paul's list. It's a very, very poor list.
So my thing, I like the idea that I'd do a Chaos Dwarf army with a minimum amount of Chaos Dwarves in it, because it would be mostly their slaves and minions. I like that. I like the idea that Chaos Dwarves themselves are quite rare. Also, this showcases the range, because the models I have are fantastic and I would want to show them off on the table. I'd want to make them up. I go for a minimum amount of Chaos Dwarves, my 4 units. They're probably going to be a brigade in themselves. A unit of blunderbusses, because you've got to have some.
So that's your anvil, is it? You've got an anvil of Chaos Dwarves.
Yeah, anvil of Chaos Dwarves. So then I've got a unit of blunderbusses in there, 4 units of hobgoblins, because I just love what hobgoblins are. They'll probably be a brigade by themselves. Now, here is where I got a little bit of list changing. So I take a unit of Black Orcs and 4 units of Orc Slaves. I would put 3 Orc Slaves with a unit of Black Orcs, and that would be their brigade. So that would get around the Orc Slaves -1 to command, because they would be led by Black Orcs, who would either be behind them or in front of them, depending on
what. And you could give 1 to the Blunderbuss to support.
Yes, I could do that. Yeah. Now, at the end of the list, there is an option there, because I might drop 1 of the unit of Orc Slaves. And if the models weren't so nice, I wouldn't have any Orc Slaves. I would just have more Hobgoblins. But I'm a sucker for that bucket on the head. I just, you know, I have to have it, you know, in my army. Then I take 2 units of Hobgoblin Wolf Riders. I'm hoping that there's the light cavalry rules being used because that would make them a lot better. Then 1 unit of Bull Centers because that, yeah, it's all the points for that. Now here I've gone for now,
one. I mean, you do realise there tend to be quite a lot of cavalry in lots of people's armies at the moment.
Chaos Dwarves are a defensive army. Right, so then you've got a Earthshaker cannon, and I've gone for a Death Rocket. And the Death Rocket is range 60, so they will fire together. So I'm going to... Yeah, I didn't realise that. And so that, and there's no way I can't include a cool little rocket in my army. Then that, so the artillery brigade then has 2 units of bolt throws, so that makes 2, 4, 5, 6 stands of artillery firing away. That's a good artillery brigade. That is, it's got point defense. It's probably one of the best. It's right up there with actual dwarves themselves of like an artillery brigade in terms of damage output and defensive output. You know, what? Go on.
No. I mean, it's a bit more like a goblin artillery build.
Goblin artillery brigade. Yeah. Then I've got a general, a hero who I'll put on a great Taurus because that's a fantastic.
Or a Tomb Kings. I think Tomb Kings have the exact thing apart from the Death Rocket, don't they? They have bolt throwers and they have
bolt throwers. So chaos. My character setup is 3 characters: a general, a hero, and a great Taurus with, you know, 5 points spare over. But I could use that 5 points another way. And I got a sorcerer and a Lamassu because again that model is too cool not to have it. So I could drop a unit of Orc slaves because I have a unit of Orc slaves that aren't doing one stand that unit aren't doing much, and I could then upgrade the general to be a wizard. Like, so I didn't really, yeah, sort of careful reading of that.
Well, you get the other 20 points from the Lamassu.
No. So an Orc slave unit is 40 points.
Oh, you mean drop the whole Orc slave?
Yeah, drop it, just delete a unit. So I have 3 units of Orc slaves because that makes, they stem 3 units of Orc slaves and 1 Black Orc make a brigade.
But you lose a break as well.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it would take place. It would see, I'd be playing it like this first and I'd see how much am I using the spells. Like, do I want another wizard in there? You know, that's how I would do it. You know, the danger is, of course, that I need the general for command. And if you start positioning him to cast magic, he's not then commanding as well. That's always, you know, with wizard generals, that's always the problem.
That is a problem.
Is that you can't position him for his spells.
That's a problem with all wizards. And I've only gone for, I haven't gone for any heroes. So what you tend to end up doing is trying to get in the 30-centimeter range and then you lose command because you can only command 20.
Yeah, exactly. So with what I see Chaos Dwarves are, I mean, obviously with artillery and their core troop, it's inevitable they're a defensive arm, as in they're good at defending. You know, they have too much artillery. They've got, you know, 3 choices of artillery. I know you're only going to choose 2. That gives you force projection so that, you know, it favors you getting a stacked battle line and bombarding the enemy before you move in your pieces to try and finish them off. It's cool. It'd be well, you know, now that these range of models are out, it's fantastic. I look forward to using them. We'll hopefully see more Chaos Dwarf armies on the table.
Okay, let's have a how do I get around? So, do I have to stop sharing and then?
Yeah.
Share again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, everyone, prepare to take a 5-minute nap, everybody, while Barry talks about his list.
5 minutes. It won't take 5 minutes. We'll take 5 seconds, sir.
Yeah.
Let's get that up to, and then we need to share. And then, oh, goddamn, close that one down. My wife's working from home. She's on a meeting. So I'm having to do all this on one screen, which is just awful. Wait, here we go. Right.
Here we go. Okay.
So break 9. I would have liked 10, but you can't get everything in life, can you? Mm-hmm. So 4 Chaos Dwarves, because you have to have 4. They're not terrible. Yeah. But they are a little bit defensive. So we got 4, but you can give them terror, which is something you can't do in the basic dwarf list.
That's right.
You can make them immune to terror, kind of, if the sun's shining the right way.
Yes, right. Yep.
But you can't give them terror, but we can in this list. So we've got 4 Orc slaves. They'll be supporting the Chaos Dwarves 1 for 1.
Yep.
So that gives us a nice longest line, which is relatively defensive, which plays into our strengths. So we've got 2 Hobgoblin Wolf Riders. Now, these are only any good with the light cavalry rules, unfortunately, because without them, they're just not resilient enough.
Yeah,
against other people's knights and other big, like, or what they call boar boys and all that kind of stuff. They just get eaten alive. wolf, yep. Those wood elf bloody wild riders, all that kind of stuff. Especially if you're cheesing with the spell that you don't even get to stand and shoot. I mean, what the fuck are they going to do?
They're going to die. That's what they're going to do.
Now, here is the big crux of the army.
Yeah, so, you spent 600 points on 4 units of ball centers.
Listen, when I play ogres, I have to spend 440 points on 2 units of rhinos riders. Right, if you play chaos, you have to spend 400 points on 2 units of chaos knights minimum. You've got to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're expensive, but you can't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Okay.
So if I'm fighting against, say I'm fighting against vampire camps, they're going to bring at least 4 units of black knights, at least 4.
At least 4.
If you're playing against dark elves, they're going to bring at least 4 units of cold ones, probably more like 6. But
if you're playing them, they will.
If you're playing high elves, they're going to have 6 silver helms. The problem is...
You took quite a lot of cavalry, didn't you, in one high elf lift build once?
Yeah, that was a good one, but that was maybe skewed slightly the wrong way with the scenario and the... lack of scenario, rather, and the table. But what you need to do is be able to... It's like that Lancaster Square principle, isn't it? You can't have your one unit of bull centaurs try and take on 4 units of knights. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. No.
That's true. Might take on one, but then you'll be dinged up and they'll just get swept away.
Yep.
And you've got artillery, they've got artillery. So that's going to be an even... And you might have a really defensive game where you don't do anything. But so I've got 4 bull centers and then they'll be run probably as 2 units of bull centers with a wolf rider on one flank, 2 units with a wolf rider on the other flank.
Yep.
And the middle will be the Chaos Dwarves with 2 Earth Shakers, 2 Bolt Throwers. It's a really fucking boring Barry Lee.
I literally fell asleep just a moment ago.
It's the minimum amount of fucking choices. I could even find... If we're not using light cavalry, I could even find a way to get rid of the fucking Wolf Riders.
Yeah.
If I could get more Orc Slaves, I probably would.
So say you drop the Wolf Riders, what would you do with...
I'd want 4 more Orc Slaves, please, boss. But I'm not allowed.
But you can't take them, so yeah.
And I don't know.
You probably play points down and just like spite the world. Right, okay.
I don't want hobgoblins. Black orcs are a loss, but the problem is if I've got my 4 bull centaurs, I've got my 4 chaos dwarves, which I have to have, and I've got a general and a couple of, it could be heroes, it can be sorcerers, it can be whatever you want, but you've got to have at least 3 characters. So you're already on like 1400 points. There's nothing left. You've got your artillery, that's another 300. That's 1,700 points gone already.
See, Barry, look, you spent 20 points on a Scroll of Dispelling. Just mount the wizard on a Lamassu, put him in the unit that matters, and then you just dispel it.
On a 4 up.
On a 4 up. And you can dispel multiple spells with that way, because you just keep, like, he keeps being targeted.
There's a chance that I would fire off, if the spell list doesn't prove that effective, I would maybe fire off one of the sorcerers and bring a hero instead.
All right.
Because, as Paul rightly pointed out, if you're trying to cast spells, that makes it difficult for you to order. And a sorcerer who's command 8, ordering a unit twice, that's not difficult. That's kind of what they're there to do. But if they're trying to cast spells, they're often in a position not to order anything.
Yeah.
Because 20 centimeters isn't a lot.
I mean, you don't need a great character setup for yours because you've not got many moving parts, really, have you?
You're in position, you've only got the bull centers and the hobgoblins. So 2 orders a turn, 2 sets of orders a turn.
A general could do that,
Or you could do one of them and leave. This is a pretty, I wouldn't say cheesy, but it's definitely a, if you know, like you're making a sauce for meat and you kind of reduce it down to a Jew. This is the Jew of the Chaos Dwarf list.
This is the Jew of the Chaos Dwarf list. Great. A race known for its persecuting of others. Like, fantastic.
The last time I tried to do a non-Barry list, I played some stupid all-chaff beastman list. I hated every minute of it.
I hate every minute of it. God damn it.
Every minute of it. Yeah. Every minute.
Slit my own throat.
So, Paul, I want to play Chaos Dwarfs. How do I get some... how do I get some SDLs or some miniatures if I don't want to go on to Kickstarter or anything?
The examples of these are from Ankelo Miniatures, and they are on Gumtree. Gumroad, that's right. And it gives you, he's done the entire range, and they are lovely. You know, like, they are really colourful. They're probably, they're a little less detailed. Yeah, I'll say that. Like, they're a little less detailed. Than
I don't think the detail matters to me because...
But does it matter?
Because a 10 mil, it's not really... I did feedback they were a little bit static, some of the models. But hey. It swings and roundabouts, man.
If you want a Chaos Dwarf army list that has the big hats, like, and looks very... like the Warhammer models, that were around, this is really, really good, and I love them. I think they're fantastic. Yes, to say they're detailed enough. And I hope that this guy goes on to make other ranges as well, because competition is good, and I'm not complaining. These are like, so that is where I would go now to get Chaos Dwarves, Gum Road. Anklo.
Yeah, but that's only for a small subset of the community who have access to 3D printing. You can pick this stuff up at Eureka.
Yes.
I'm not even sure you can buy these through a third party printer, but I'm not up to date.
I don't know. So if you needed to buy physical metal models, then Eureka Miniatures does enough of a range that you can make a Chaos Dwarf army. You might struggle with some options, but you can do it.
Okay. Yeah. And what I would say is, I've been discussing this with somebody recently. It's like, if you imagine this 3D printing stuff is like digital, the world is digital, and the old metal stuff's analog, if you like. Some people still like vinyl records, mate.
They're completely
different. You can't get one of those and throw it against the wall and expect it to still live.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think metal miniatures will ever die.
No.
So I am conscious sometimes that, especially on my YouTube bit, that I talk a lot about 3D printing because that's what I'm doing. So just because I talk about 3D printing doesn't mean other stuff doesn't exist. Look at the fella that did the Dark Elves recently. Leon's work.
Exactly. That we had on.
Yeah. So. That's why we talk about 3D printing a little bit here, but I do a lot more about it on the separate videos, because not everybody wants to hear about it. It's like, if you don't have a 3D printer and you're not getting one, then it can get a bit... I know Nick is always fucking moaning that the Warmaster Facebook group is just kind of like some 3D fucking printing group. It's like... Can you not make a separate 3D fucking printing group so I don't have to read this?
That's
not the reason I don't do Facebook, but it just made me laugh.
So
what else are you going to say? I've got one more thing to talk about before we go, but you're welcome to finish. We've got to do rank and stuff.
We've got to rank. I got something as well. So our ranking system is flawed. What do you think?
We've only got one more list to do, and then we're going to do the
ranking.
No, it's going to be worse than that, sir. They call it power rankings in the NFL. One pundit lists from bottom to top the power ranking. What's the worst army? What's the best army? And then another pundit comes up with a semi-different list. I mean, the top's always the same. Maybe in a slightly different order. So we're going to do a power rankings episode.
Okay, that sounds brilliant. That sounds good. So it's almost, we're going to have to say tier two, aren't we?
What else is it going to be?
Wait for the power ranking. Like, oh! But that's going to be a good episode. It's like, the power!
I can tell you what's going to be the top, and it's going to have number 10 next to command.
You're going to struggle to argue against that. Yeah, okay. Right. So, something I want to mention. It's always good to promote. So Ian's YouTube channel, where he's doing army list. He's doing Warmaster armies, and it's some really good
stuff.
Just on Beastmen. You probably already know about it if you know us, but if you don't, Ian Standing, isn't it? Is like
I think there might be an initial, but I don't know what it is. It's M or something. Ian N or M Standing.
If you
look for Warmaster, he's probably going to be the first thing that comes up, I guess.
I mean, he's done loads of content recently, tons. He's really knocking them out loads, and they're really good.
I was wondering if he'd given up his job.
It's like, how is he doing it all?
Don't know. Fair play to it.
But it's certainly like in his Beastman one he's just done. obviously he feels that he's got issues with the list, and they are good points actually. And they're like, yeah, okay, maybe in the future we got to address these as a committee. It's like, yeah, okay, because but that's the difference. It's like in our thing, we give two different opinions on the same subject, like, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what we do. Obviously, Ian's is a one man show, and he's like, you know, it's like it's interesting hearing his review of Beastman because he's, you know, he sees problems with the Beastman list, and that's cool to listen to. But yeah,
you talked about the problems of the Beastman list. It's, I don't really know what it is.
No, I'm just saying it's just like
just full
it's,
of rubbish.
Yeah, it's like I'm a fan, so go
because you
be
convinced me
well.
To just take the solution to having a list full of rubbish is just take more rubbish. So you end up doing things like, oh, I'll ambush this brigade behind the enemy line, and then what does it do? It just gets stomped. Because he can't fight.
All right. Enough about that. But I'm just rubbish. Like, I just wanted to promote him.
Yeah, good. Right. Well done, sir. He deserves all the credit in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And
he raises the water level for everyone.
Yeah,
so that's
good. And he's done some videos. He's doing a series on how to play the game as well, which is, you know, worth watching too. I watch these things and I always pick up some obscure thing I didn't realise because it's like very corner. It's very corner case, but yeah, it's always
well that, and then you don't read the rules.
Well, that too. Yeah, like excellent.
Right. Okay. So what? I've got to talk about bring out your lead. So hopefully, God willing, vaccine.
Yes, it will.
Vaccine. Blah 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 blah.
Yes, it will.
So bring out your lead. Did I say what date that was? Is it in July or something? I think it's July. So if you look out for Bring Out Your Lead 2021, mm-hmm. it's in Nottingham. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's at the Foundry Games. I might be making all this shit up now because I've never been before. Matthew Street goes there all the time and bigs it up. So yep. I've booked a table.
Yes.
A 6x4.
Saturday the 31st of July.
There we go. End of July. Newark. So, yep. I mean, you'd hope. Newark is... Oh, that is Nottingham Way, Newark. Mm. So we're going to go. We're going to bring a load of 1,000-point painted armies. It's an open game, so as long as there's no restrictions, like fucking, you got to be two people
there
from the same
be,
household.
There won't be.
We're in balaclavas.
There won't be.
As long as there's none of those, yeah. Rock up. You don't need to. You don't need to book in advance. You can turn up on the day, or you can obviously tell us you're coming if you want to be nice and polite. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play some kind of Royal Rumble event. So,
the Royal Rumble.
Every turn.
He's got an equalizer. Oh!
another every turn, yeah. Another army joins in.
And yeah, it comes in, does his finishing move. Boom.
And it'll be like a random deployment, and we'll have some kind of crazy, like Paul-esque, like, you know, you have like elements that are just random. So like each turn you'll roll or select a card, and some fucking random event will happen.
Yeah.
The forest set of lights, all the fucking wood elves die.
Yeah. Yay!
Everybody in a forest...
And there is much rejoicing.
Woo! Everybody in the forest takes D3 fucking wounds.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or like a meteor hits or whatever. It'll just be stupid. Yeah. But and there'll be some kind of award. I've got some prizes kicking around and stuff that people have sent me to review. So whoever, there'll be a prize for the winner, as long as it's not me or Paul.
Yeah, because we can't win. Yeah.
Whoever gets at the end, and obviously the person who comes in last to the Royal Rumble has a massive advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a complete fix, isn't it, Rumble?
You should do a prize for the person who lasts the least amount of time.
Well, it'd be one of the first two in, you'd guess, wouldn't it? Yeah.
No. Is it last the you want a prize for the one who lasts the longest, and you want a prize for one who lasts the least time?
What about the guy who wins it?
Well, yeah, there's obviously a prize for that as well. Okay, so we'll three prizes.
We'll see what we can do. I've certainly got some stuff kicking around, so that'll be good fun. So 31st of July, if God willing, everything's a bit more chilled out in the UK.
It will be.
Paul. It will be. Booster Boris over there.
It will be. Yes.
It will be.
Yes.
So he keeps sharing. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. But so it's all going to go well. And we're going to go out for a curry and a drink afterwards. Yep. And then we'll go home. Yep. I don't think we're staying over. But
yeah, we'll sort that out later.
Mm. Okay. So that's the 31st of July. It's obviously not going to be as big as Paul's event because, you know, we're not measuring Willie's here. His Willie's miles bigger than mine this year.
But, I mean, I'm still amazed that it's sold out. So LGBT is sold out. I'm gonna next year.
LGBTQ.
LGBTQ is sold out. Next year, I'm gonna have to do 64. You know, swinging dicks for it. Hey,
you don't have to have a dick to play. I promise.
So yeah, it's that's what it's gonna have to be. It's fantastic. Honestly, it's fantastic because that's no internationals, no Scottish, apart from that.
Well, they're international.
Apart
anyway,
from that traitor Janners is
Scottish the winner.
Now.
You mean?
Yeah, the winner is so fantastic. Yeah,
I'm not playing this year. I beat him last year, or the last time I was on.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. So no, not just not your even. Film. Your behind the shows. Yeah.
Media guy snorting cocaine off some prostitute's breast.
Exactly. Like, oh my God, go to camera two.
Apparently, the lad in the Eurovision wasn't snorting cocaine.
I saw.
I don't know. I didn't
He was painting a model. That's what he was doing. Yeah, like.
Of course he was. Of course he was. He was just he was checking for streaks in the glass or something.
Yeah.
He was just having a good look.
Right. I gotta get right down there. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. What a world we live in. Anyway, so that was a load of nonsense. This was episode 161. Paul's now got daddy daycare to do.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to record some more videos while I'm set up. So
cool. Excellent.
Have a good week, everybody.
Have a good time. And thanks for listening.
And we're going to do a game next week.
Yes, unless Barry thinks up another excuse for what's wrong with him.
Yeah. We'll see what the chiropractor says. He says, I'll live, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.